38. To his sister Vera and his brother-in-law Alexander Pavlovich Ivanov. Geneva. January the 1st, 13th, 1868. My dear and precious Alexander Pavlovich and Vera Mikhailovna, first of all, I embrace you, congratulate you on the new year, and wish you, of course, most heartily everything of the best. Yesterday, Anna Grigorievna surprised me with a quarter bottle of champagne, which, at exactly 10:30 in the evening, when it was striking 12 in Moscow, she placed on our tea table. We clinked glasses and drank to the health of all our dear ones. Who are dearer to me, and to Anna Grigorievna, her nearest relatives excepted, than you and your children? Besides you, only Fedya and his family and Pasha. There stand written all my precious ones for whom I care. I have received both your letters, the last and the November one. Forgive my not having answered till now. I love you always, and think of you no less than hitherto. But I have been continually in such a state of stress and dissatisfaction that I put off answering to a better period, and indeed of late I have, literally, not had a single free hour. I have been working all the time, writing and then destroying what I had written. Not until the end of December was I able to send the first part of my novel to the Ruski Vyestnik. They wanted it for the January number, and I am afraid the MS arrived too late. And now, for me, nearly everything depends on this work, my existence, daily bread, and my whole future. I have had huge advances of money from the Ruski Vyestnik, nearly 4,500 rubles. Then in Petersburg I still have bills to meet the amount of at least 3,000, and at the same time I must exist somehow or other, and at such a period. Therefore I stake all my hopes on the novel. I shall have to work incessantly, scarcely rising from my desk, for the next 4 months. I am so very much behindhand, because I have rejected nearly all that I've written up to the present. The book will, by the Ruski Vyestnik's rates, bring me in about 6,000 rubles. Now I've had 4,500 in advance, consequently I have only 1,500 to get. If it really succeeds, I shall in September sell, as I am accustomed always to do, the second edition for about 3,000 rubles. In that way I shall manage to live, pay off in September about 1,500 rubles of my debts, and come back to Russia. Thus everything depends on my work now, my whole future and my whole present, and if the book is in any way good, I shall get further credit from the Vyestnik in September. Now I'll tell you about our life and circumstances up to the present. In that respect it's all monotonous enough. While we are in Geneva, every day resembles every other. I write, and Anna Grigorievna works at the outfit for the little person whom we are expecting, or does shorthand for me when I need her help. She bears her condition excellently, though lately she has not been quite so well. Our life suits her admirably, and she only longs for her mama. Our seclusion is to me personally of great value. Without it I could not have worked at all. But, all the same, Geneva, except for the view of Mont Blanc, the lake and the river Rhone that flows from it, is mightily tedious. I knew that before, but circumstances arranged themselves in such a way that in our situation we could find no other abode for the winter than just this Geneva, whither we came by chance in September. In Paris, for instance, the winter is much colder, and wood 10 times dearer, as everything is. We really wanted to go to Italy, that is to Milan, of course, not farther south, where the winter climate is incomparably milder, while in the town, with its cathedral, theatre and galleries, is much more attractive. But in the first place, all Europe, and particularly Italy, was at that very time threatened with a campaign, and for a woman with child to find herself in the middle of a campaign would have been far from pleasant. Secondly, it was eminently desirable that we should be able to render ourselves intelligible to the doctor and the midwife, and we do not know Italian. Germany was out of our way, nor did we much desire to return there. Geneva is, at any rate, a cultivated town with libraries and many doctors, etc., who all speak French. We had not, to be sure, guessed that it would be so dull here, nor that there are periodical winds called bises, which come over the mountains, bringing with them the chill of the eternal ice. In our first abode, we suffered much. The houses here are shockingly built. Instead of stoves, there are only fireplaces, and there are no double windows. So all day long, one has to keep burning wood in the fireplace. Wood is very expensive here also, though Switzerland is the only land of Western Europe where wood is really abundant. And one might as well be trying to warm the yard outside. In my room, it was often only 6 and even 5 degrees above zero. In the others, it sometimes happened that the water in the jug froze at night. But for the last month or so, we've been in a new house. 2 of the rooms are very good, and 1 of them is so warm that one can live and work comfortably in it. With us in Geneva, the temperature never fell below 8 degrees. In Florence, it was 10 degrees above, and at Montpellier in France, on the Mediterranean Sea, farther south than Geneva, it was 15 above. I haven't written to Petersburg for a long time, and I scarcely ever hear from them. I am much perturbed by the thought that Fedya and Pasha need money, which must be sent them as soon as may be. But I can't possibly expect any large sum from the Ruski Vyestnik until I deliver the second part of the novel, which won't be at earliest for 3 weeks, for I have already had too much money in advance, and have only worked off about 1,000 rubles. This worries me so that I often can't sleep at night. Fedya can't manage without extra help, and Pasha must have his money regularly. I live on the 100 rubles that the Vyestnik sends me monthly, and soon I too shall need much more than that. At the end of February, by the stile here, Anna Grigorievna will be a mother, and for that occasion I must absolutely have money and a margin, for one can't calculate with any certainty beforehand how much one will need. How goes it with you? Your letters are real treats to me, and I wish I could go to Moscow just to see you all. But once more, my future depends on my work. I beg you to write to me most fully about yourselves and the children. By the by, I was greatly vexed, Vyurochka, by your letter in November, saying that you wanted to get a Frenchwoman for your children. Why? To what end? On account of the accent? From a Frenchwoman, and even from a French tutor, one can't possibly, I know it by my own experience, acquire the French tongue in all its subtleties. One can acquire it only by firmly resolving to do so. And even then, perfectly to obtain the accent, one needs an extraordinarily strong will. I consider the accent superfluous. Believe me, dear Vyurochka, by the time your children are grown up, French will no longer be spoken in our drawing rooms. Even today it has often a most absurd effect. It is a different matter to be able to understand and read a language. Then, if one's travelling and it's necessary, one can make shift to speak it. But otherwise it's quite enough to understand and read it. What is the French woman going to talk to the children about? Nothing but tomfoolery. And affected as she is, and powerful as she'll be, she'll infect them with her vulgar, corrupt, ridiculous, and imbecile code of manners, and her distorted notions about religion and society. It's a pleasure now to observe your children. The tone in your house is unconstrained and frank. Everything bears the stamp of happy, tranquil family life. The Frenchwoman will introduce a new and evil French element. While of the expense I need not speak. Yet another remark. If people want to acquire a correct French accent nowadays, they must adopt the guttural Parisian mode, which is very ugly and offensive to the ear. This accent is modern, and has been fashionable in Paris only within the last 25 years at most. Our tutors and governesses don't yet dare to introduce it among us. Therefore, your children would not acquire this correct pronunciation. But I have written too much about the governess. I am now about to take a rest of 2 days and then set to work again. The state of my health has remarkably improved since the autumn. Sometimes I don't have a single attack for 7 weeks at a stretch. And yet I am occupied in most exacting brain work. I can't understand how it has come to pass, but I'm very glad of it. Till next time, my dear and precious ones, I kiss and embrace you, wish you heartily, as brother and friend, all that is best, and beg you, too, not to forget us. My address is still Geneva. Perhaps at the end of April we may go over Mont Cenis into Italy, to Milan and Lake Como. That will be a real paradise. Everything depends, however, on my work. Wish me success. Your Fyodor Dostoevsky.